Christmas is not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell invites us to worship the Christ of Christmas.
When history ends and those who made it are fallen, His name will remain because His name is above all names. And I say this morning, His name is an exclusive name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. My friend, Jesus saves.
For Christians worldwide, the month of December is filled with joy and wonder as we anticipate the celebration of Christ's birth. But sometimes the very familiarity of the season causes us to overlook its true meaning. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Worship the Christ of Christmas, we will learn how to experience God's presence, know His peace, and live with His continual joy. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called The Words of Christmas.
A mother was running from store to store trying to get ready for Christmas, and she had a lot of last-minute shopping to do. In the middle of all of that, she stopped and she realized she had lost her 3-year-old son. By the way, how many of you have ever lost a child in a store? That's a scary feeling. Boy, she began to look frantically, and she tried everywhere to find her son, and finally, she came upon him. He was standing outside the store with his little face pressed against the glass, and he was looking inside at a manger scene. And when his mother came up to him, she said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Look, Mommy, it's baby Jesus in the hay." And the mother grabbed his arm, and with a little bit of anger, she said, "Look, can't you see? We don't have time for all of that. I'm trying to get ready for Christmas." You know, that seems to be the way this season goes. We get running from place to place to place, and we never stop to really meditate on what it's really all about. And I'm glad you're here this morning to do just that. Because when we open the book of Luke chapter 1, we come to the greatest announcement ever made to the world. And that announcement was given to a maiden by the name of Mary. It was the announcement that God would become man and dwell among us, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. I want you to study this with me this morning, and I want you to consider what God's will for your life would be as Mary considered His will for her life. Notice, if you would, in our outline this morning, an amazing appearance that takes place. We see an amazing appearance in this passage. The Bible says in verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now this morning I want you to notice several things about this particular appearance. Notice, if you would, first of all, the time of the appearance. We learn in this text that the time was about the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. It was a time not only peculiar because of John the Baptist being the forerunner of Jesus Christ, but it was also significant because the Bible had said in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now the term "the fullness of time" speaks of the fact that God is operating on His timetable in this world in which we live. And in fact, the fullness of times refers back to a prophecy that was made all the way back in the days of Daniel. Daniel had given a prophecy, some of you have studied it, the 70-week prophecy spoke of the time when the Messiah would come. And as we study that prophecy, we know that each of those years would lead to the time when the Messiah would come. And the Bible says now the fullness of time was come. God's prepared moment for Daniel, from Daniel's prophecy and for Jesus' arrival had now come. And so the angel comes to a virgin named Mary at a very specific time to announce God's will for her life. Benjamin Franklin, at the latter days of his life, in fact, he was 81 years old, when he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." God governs in the affairs of men. And I believe we see that in this case. We see that God is allowing the world's clock to bring us to a moment when Gabriel would come and would speak to Mary. It was a specific time. It was a planned time. But notice, secondly, the place of the appearance. The Bible tells us that this angel came to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. In the times of Jesus, it was a little bit of a military outpost. There was, of course, some agriculture there. And at that time, somewhat of a sleepy village. It was not a famous town by any means. In fact, some people might say, Nazareth? Why would God choose a woman from Nazareth? And I believe the answer to that question is because he found a woman there who was completely yielded to him. He found a woman whose life had been completely consecrated, completely given to him. And I want you to take note of that this morning, because great works for God rarely start in big places with famous people. Rather, they start in small places with willing people, people who have hearts that are yielded over to the Lord. Nazareth was an obscure town. Nazareth did not have many of the advantages that other places had. And Mary was not unique financially or socially. Yet the Bible says she was highly favored of God. And I share that with you this morning because I believe that God can use anyone, anywhere, if they will be yielded unto him. And so we see the time was prophesied and prepared. It was the fullness of time when Jesus came. And the place, Nazareth, was not necessarily a special place, but there was a special person that lived there. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, the angel of the appearance. Verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God." Now again, this relates to Daniel's prophecy, for it was 550 years prior to this when Gabriel had come to Daniel and had made his announcement to Daniel concerning the coming of the Messiah. When we see Gabriel in the scriptures, we know that something special is about to be announced. And then I want you to notice, of course, most importantly, the observer of this appearance. Who is the one who sees this appearance? Now we see throughout the scriptures that there are many special moments where God is going to make a revelation or an announcement. But here in this particular case, the most important announcement he would ever give. And in verse 27, we see it is made to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Mary is a wonderful lady in the Bible. Mary is a lady that every woman here can learn from, someone that every woman can glean from, and we can grow by the study of her life. And we see here that Mary was the one to whom Gabriel came. One week, a Sunday school teacher was telling the Christmas story to the children, and she wanted to make sure they were getting it, and so she began to ask some review questions. And finally, she said to the children, she said, now, boys and girls, who do you think is the most important woman in all of the Bible? Boy, she'd been spending the last several weeks preaching and teaching about Mary. And one little fellow in the back of the class raised up his hand, and he said, "I know who it is. It's Eve." Now, how many of you know, teachers, that's frustrating when they're not getting the lesson to begin with. She said, "Well, why do you say it's Eve?" And he said, "Well, because I saw that there are 2 days named after Eve. There's Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve." And so he'd been meditating, but in the wrong way. Now, during this time of year, we're not here to worship Mary. And how tragic to think that some religions actually do worship Mary. They actually pray through Mary in their observance. And by the way, my friend, that teaching is never found in the Bible. Mary is not the mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator. And years ago, I heard a man ask one of the missionaries, said, I pray to Mary. And said, what's wrong with that? And he said, well, sir, he said, listen, if you were sick, would you go to the doctor or to the doctor's mother with your need? He said, well, I'd go to the doctor. And he said, well, you know, you can pray directly to Jesus Christ about your needs. And I'm glad that we can pray directly to the Lord. But we see several things about Mary in this text. First of all, we see that Mary was a pure woman. The Bible says in verse 27, she was a virgin. And several times in the scriptures, this term is used. And I thank God this morning that the scriptures are very clear that she had not known a man. This was not to be the son of a man. This was going to be the son of God. She was a virgin. She was a pure woman. Some modern translations refer to Mary as a young woman. And the truth of the matter is, in the King James Version this morning, we see her referred to as a virgin. By the way, there is a difference. And we need to recognize the importance of guarding the fundamental doctrines that have been delivered unto us. And here we see she was a pure woman. Secondly, we know that she was a prepared woman. The Bible tells us in verse number 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Again, in a different way, God is letting us know this woman was pure. She was prepared. She had not known a man. In Luke 1 and verse 18, the Bible says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Once again, we see a phrase there, before they came together. You begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is guarding this sacred truth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of God's Son would require a miracle, and he could not be born through the natural process as other men were. He would be born conceived of the Holy Ghost. We see the scripture say that she was espoused to a man. This meant that she was engaged to be married. This matter of betrothal in this period of time was a commitment towards marriage. It was a commitment literally to marriage without the physical consummation of marriage. She was a pure woman. She was engaged to be married, but she had not yet come together with Joseph. Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 7:14. The Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so Mary was a pure woman. Mary was a prepared woman. And I want you to know also, Mary was a preferred woman. Now notice what it says in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, we said a moment ago that we do not worship Mary. There are no statues of Mary in this church. She is not the co-redeemer of man, and so on and so forth. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the mediator. And having said that, however, let's take note of the fact that Mary was highly favored as a woman, that she was a godly woman, that she was a woman chosen for this specific task, and how we thank God for her testimony. The Bible says there in verse 8, she was highly favored. That means she was full of grace. And I believe she must have been a gracious and a godly and a sweet Christian woman. She was blessed among women, the Bible says. She was a woman very blessed. And I believe, ladies, this morning as we take a look at Mary, and I believe men as well, a good question to ask is this, am I cultivating godliness in my life?
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word,
and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.